Okay, so coming all the way from the capital of the millennial kingdom. Wow. Dual citizen of Israel and Finland. I asked him yesterday if he had to keep which one passport, which would he keep? And the answer is, let's just say there's more Finns to offend here than Israelis. So, okay, so you can welcome him now. Pastor Ben Turquia.
This is the longest day in the summer, so summer minutes are a little longer than winter minutes, but I try to keep it within limit. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be here with everybody, with all the precious body, right here in this assembly where that we always see through the net. It's been 5 years since I've been able to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you for the consistent message that is a straight gospel, God-honoring message and life-building message that comes out of here. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege and all of your own here, your flock, the body of your Son. In your precious name, amen. I was thinking concerning this theme, built upon the rock. There's the matter of the foundation, which is the rock. And then there's the matter of the building. And then what kind of building it is. So we have many things here. Rock. There's a tremendous misunderstanding about the rock. How strong, how solid that rock really is. When you read the books, like geography books that you have to repeat in the schools and all that, they never tell you this. We are standing upon a rock that is so... People have drilled about 12 kilometers, it's about 8 miles deep. And you can't drill deeper. All the drills break. We know nothing what is under that rock. How deep layer and what. If God hasn't said it in the Bible, we don't know. That rock is solid and strong. We can't penetrate it. But the rock on which we are standing is even stronger, which is the Messiah. We're going to talk about it a little bit, how we make that as our personal rock and how that is the rock of the church. Also, the last song reminds us, as it says in Matthew 7, concerning the rock and considering the building, that in the last days, there's going to be trials. It's always, but especially the last days, we are going to try the foundation. There are mega churches that are huge, that are built this way and that way. And David Wilkerson told us when he came to Jerusalem, he went to one of the pastors' meeting where were many of these mega pastors. And the first speaker said, I got 10,000 people in my service and my plan is to have 30,000. That's how he started. Wilkerson said, I walked right out. He can't tell me anything about God. I'm about God. And he went to a small church in Pennsylvania, about 100 people. Well, that's not so small, really, but a remnant church. And he said, I found God. Everything will be tested. It's nothing is as it seems. Don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word. Nothing is as it seems. We cannot be fooled. But let's go to the good news. So the rock that is under us is solid. Salvation that is under us is solid. I have to touch this little point here. In Hebrews 10:29, when we're on the topic of, does this verse, those that... trod underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing, thus and has done despite or whatever despite unto the Spirit of grace. Does that word challenge the rock of our salvation? No, because you know what the Aramaic reading is in the way that it was first versed says. They count the blood of the Son of God as any other blood, or as the blood of any man. In other words, these people, it's not that when they failed, their failure shows that they didn't appreciate the blood. It's not that. What it says is they didn't believe that he is the Son of God. They believed his blood is as the blood of any man. They were not true believers. And that's why they went to animal sacrifices. So this really clarifies to me again and again that the rock on which we stand is so solid. But now, friends, let's touch one thing here. We have the building, we have the foundation. In Matthew 7, for the lack of time, I won't read all these words. But in Matthew 7, the Lord says that there's a wise man who built his house on the rock, and a foolish man built his house on the sand. And he that keeps my words, he's the man who built his house upon a rock. Let me illustrate it this way. Charles Finney, the evangelist who lived a few years ago, he met a man on a street corner and he tried to tell him about the Lord. And the man said, I don't understand this stuff of resurrection from the dead, how the Messiah was resurrected. I can't understand it. I can't really relate to it. So he said, what do you understand? He said, well, I understand something from the Sermon on the Mount. He knew exactly what he was doing. He said, okay, take the Sermon on the Mount now and read it every day on your knees. And put it into practice. Don't cheat. And we'll meet after a week. He knew how it works. The man was honest. He met him after a week and he said, what happened? Did you do it? He said, I can't. What happened? I noticed that I'm demanding from others things I'm not demanding from myself. And I noticed I'm a sinner. The Lord wouldn't want to save somebody like me. He said, that's exactly who he would want to save. You found the rock. The first bottom line about the rock is when we find out we can't do it. Now when it comes to the matter of building upon the rock, you know what? It's quite much the same thing. When we find out we cannot do it, then we turn to the Lord and say, you are my Savior. There's so much in this precious word of God about this building. But the second thing I wanted to point out is that when the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. When we find out that the rock is totally of God. 1 Corinthians 3 especially talks about it in verse 11, that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is our precious Savior. He's laid down life on a cross and his resurrection. He is the rock, and yes, then we are the co-builders, co-laborers with him. But the Bible says elsewhere in the Psalms, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. The church is built to a rock that is higher. When we are overwhelmed, we realize our own inability. Sometimes the Lord uses physical situations to cause us to find out our own inability. I'm sure in this type of a setting, there are many, many people that have gone through deep physical trials. I myself went through one a short time ago, and I almost saw the gates of heaven, really, pretty close. But I realized that maybe there's a little bit more to do here. But it made me, maybe not much more, but it made me realize how it's only that rock that is under us that holds. But that rock is higher than us. It's in the heavenlies. It's in the resurrection. He took his death into the level of resurrection. And that's where he builds his church. That's how and where he builds his church. But when we say the building, and then we say the rock, it's actually written also in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. My dear friends, living through him is not an idea. It's a daily thing that he has made available to us to live through him. It's the most exciting thing. Where he places us on the rock, we've been placed there. And then when we live through him, we realize, however, that the love, the rock is not there, how we live through him. The body of the Messiah is built by living through him, by getting our messages through him, by living a life of service and humility through him. By saying, I can't. The deeper we realize I can't, the deeper we find a place where we live through him. Like that man said, I can't do this Sermon on the Mount. Just as much as salvation is the work of God, so as that much also, the building of his eternal kingdom is his work. I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot conquer it. I will build it. However, we'll be co-laborers with him. But how? The more I realize I cannot, like Pastor Matti said this morning, these morning meetings with pastors have been so awesome, and to see the wisdom in the leadership here, it's just awesome. But Pastor Matti said that there's that place of prayer. There's that place of prayer we draw from him. And that's where we begin to live through him. Now, to live through him is really vibrant. It's really vibrant. There's nothing dead about it. It's the river of grace. It's a precious thing that we heard last night. So, God sent his Son for this purpose, that we would not live in human life dependent on ourselves, but our human life would be carried and mingled with his supernatural life, his glorified human life, so that we are really more ourselves than we ever realized by enjoying him. That's the purpose why he sent his Son. But that is not the rock. The rock is not how I experience him today. It is not the rock. The love is not there, even though it's necessary for the building. But the building has to stand on the rock, not on our building. And the rock is that. It's the impenetrable rock that cannot be changed. It's stronger than the rock on which we're standing right now. No drills can penetrate it. Don't believe the books that say that we found that there's this and that stuff underneath, so deep layers. Nobody knows. It's not written in the Bible. But we have this rock. And this rock is verse 10. Herein is love. It's here. It's not even in a manifestation, even though the manifestation is necessary and it's enjoyable. It's here. Not that we loved God. It's nothing of us. That is the rock. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, we don't have time to go into it, but we got to be very sensitive to the Lord, because the church, the building, is not so unlike the temple. It's got three parts. There's a massive amounts of building that are done today that relate to the outer court. Discipleship grace ministry is built into the inner part of the temple. Believe me, friends, a lot of stuff that is out there, it's going to be tested in the last days, because it's not complementing the Holy of Holies, the place of grace, the humility. So the question really to us is, are we building into the Holy of Holies? And the more I know I can't, the more I'm a candidate of hearing through the Spirit how to build into the Holy of Holies. And last night's message put it together. There we see how everything is precious. You are precious because we have a precious head and a cornerstone. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Okay, so next, coming from a slightly more populated country, the subcontinent of India. Former football player, now pastoring in the city of Bangalore, please welcome Pastor Brian Coelho.
He got his stats wrong. Just kidding. It's great to be here. There are so many precious portions that were expressed. It's great to be in God's presence and in the midst of God's people, isn't it? My wife is here. My name is... Okay, you introduced me. My wife is here and my daughter. Last year, my wife came here after 17 years. And then if you are here from India, can you stand? There are visiting pastors here. Can you stand? Just say hello and... Beautiful. Father, we ask that you bless the remainder of our time here. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking of the subject and just meditating upon it and just hearing different portions. In October, we had a conference in Bangalore and Pastor Shibeli came, and it was on the armor of God. We went to Mumbai and it was the overcoming life. And here we have the rock built upon it. And it seems like the message that God wants to communicate to us is that He wants to equip us, at least we in India, as a church, of the protecting us from the evil of the age that is possibly coming upon us. And just as in the meditation for this morning's portion, the Bible is, in the Old Testament, I know Pastor Ben shared that portion here, is full of types. Now, God knows the end from the beginning. He has all knowledge, He has self-knowledge, and He has foreknowledge. And He can reveal things in the Old Testament which are mysteries to us in the New Testament. But when we go back in the Old Testament, we find out that God has revealed some of that in typology, in shadow form, but we have it here in the New Testament, in the substance. In the book of Leviticus, in the 23rd chapter, verses 15 to 23, there is a festival called the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days from the Feast of First Fruits would be the Feast of Pentecost. And it's a unique feast because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2:4 and got 120 people into the body of Christ called the church, right? It's so beautiful because at that feast, there was a new grain offering that had to be bought. A new grain offering. It was unique because a grain offering would never have leaven mixed with it. Leaven is symbolic of something that has impurity, something that corrupts, something that puffs up, something that is sinful. But in that offering, they had to bring leaven with two loaves, 2/10 of an ephah of flour baked with leaven. There are the offerings that were brought, the burnt, the peace, the... This was the grain and the sin offering. Speaks of the atonement of Christ. But what is beautiful is that the two loaves had leaven in it. Two loaves. We look in Ephesians chapter 2 and we recognize that the middle wall of partition that kept the Gentiles out from the worship in the temple was broken down by Christ, and therefore He made the two one new man. In Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. And therefore He has removed that barrier, and He has removed all barriers, and He's brought the two into one. The leaven represents the fact that sin is still there in the church in that sense, but the very fact that it was, the flour was baked with leaven symbolizes that judgment was brought upon the sin nature. Christ died for our sins on the cross, but the leaven that was contained in the bread that was in the oven represents the fact that our nature has been judged. And today, when we stand here as people, we are in God's house. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He shed His precious blood. I love that 10:29 of Hebrews. It was not just common blood. It was the blood of... Every time the word blood is mentioned in the New Testament, it is either the name of Christ or His or personal pronoun attached to it, which symbolizes it was the blood of God in Acts chapter 20:28. And so we are now brought into this unique place. And to me, one of the most important things was, after salvation, is to get a revelation of the body of Christ. One of the most precious things that there is today. When Jesus came to His own, and His own received them not, and we have heard about it, and sometimes when you are asked to share, and other people have gone before and already shared the same passage of Scripture, you're wondering, okay, what am I going to do next? But this is so unique that the cornerstone became the stumbling stone to Israel. And I was thinking about it, and I realized, why was it that they stumbled over the stumbling stone? And is it possible that they possibly believed that a righteousness could be derived from the law? And therefore, when Christ came and was communicating a righteousness that cannot be derived from the law, having thought that they had that righteousness, they stumbled at that. In Romans chapter 10:4. But this is so unique, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, the stone which the builders rejected became the cornerstone. It says in 1 Peter 2:7, this stone, choice and precious, and those that believe on Him will not be disappointed. Then it says this in 2:7, it is to this preciousness to the ones believing. This preciousness to the ones believing. That means when we believed and we were placed on that stone, the English adds the word value. But it says this preciousness to the ones believing. That means the moment we were placed, we believe in Christ, we were placed in that stone, we shared in the same essence of that stone. Therefore, with the very righteousness of Christ became our righteousness as a gift. Therefore, we share in the same nature as Christ is. So everything about who He is in terms of His finished work before the Father is who we are before the Father. It's an amazing thought. Now, there is one point that we have received as a result of this value in our lives. Therefore, each one in the body of Christ here is very valuable to God. In the body of Christ, every single person is valuable. But God just does not want us to be there in that place. He wants to impart virtue to us. Virtue. Gold sitting in a place has intrinsic value. It's, you know, people in India, one of the largest importers of gold. If you would take all the gold in all the temples in India and you would bring it out, they say it's over something like 30 billion. It could possibly at some point of time eradicate poverty, but it's sitting there in, it's only used for ornamentation. You know, it has value. And when people come to festive occasions, they invite burglary and robbery by putting it on them. You know, when you know how it is. You know, when people look at gold, which has value, they want some. God, there is a vulnerability that is there in the church, and God exposes the church in the devil's world. But He only does that. He does that by imparting virtue to us. And I'd like to say 4 points before closing. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, it was God's plan before the foundations of the world to equip the church. And He says it, may the God of peace who raised up from the dead, the great shepherd of our sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you in every good work to do His will. The word equip is a very interesting word in the Greek, katarazo, and it's used in these four contexts, and it means to be able to fully furnish, to fit, to outfit completely, to fully supply. It is used in many, in a surgical word, to put a bone into joint. So God, from the foundation of the world, had a plan that He would form a body on the earth of which His Son would be the living head, that would derive life from Him, derive our value from Him, but also derive virtue from Him. But there was a way in which this virtue would be communicated. Second, the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. The scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that every man of God may be fit, artios. Now, there's a lot of fitness going on around, right? See people lifting weights, and then you see a dog running, you know, barking at a person, he's running for his life. Put your fitness into practice, God is saying. You know what I'm saying? I remember playing soccer because off-season training is you got to, you know, keep yourself fit. And when I went to the gym, the guy was teaching me how to lift weights. And I said, if I have so much of muscle on me on the upper part of the body, then who's going to run with it for 90 minutes? So he didn't understand that I didn't come to pump. I came to do something from here to there so that, you know, the abdomens, if it's hard, you can run. That every man of God may be artios, fit. Then it says, this word, katarizo, fully equipped, ex artizo, fully equipped. God does not leave His church so the church could be battered. I understand the persecution, but in our hearts we have life. The outward things that happen to the church as a whole is not the reality. There is something on the inside that God wants to demonstrate, and He wants to demonstrate that my people have virtue on the inside in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. The third thing that He uses is, He uses the gift of the pastor teacher. Ephesians 4:11, to some He gave apostles, prophets, those two ministries were for the foundation stone in Ephesians 2:20, 19 and 20. Pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification or the building of the body of Christ. This is a noun form for the building up, for the equipping of the saint. The gift of God to the church, a pastor teacher. I never forget it. You know, it's funny because when the team first came down, we were all excited, and then, you know, the authorities started moving in, and we didn't know sometimes if the team is going to be here or not be here, and we'd pray. And I was called many times to sit down before the commissioner of police, and they would ask, who are these Americans? I worked in the railways, so I was at a government job, so I was okay. And they called me sometimes. I would stay there from 10 a.m. in the morning to 4 o'clock on the chair without water. Sit down there. And who are these people? And they have the file, and they have all the tracks and everything. But for 7 years, the team was there, and they could not do a single thing about deporting them because of the sovereign plan of God. for them to be in a nation so that people would be equipped. And the authorities, having all the evidence in front of them, was not able to do anything. It seemed like there were cherubims and seraphims standing there, and they were just blinded to that reality. In Ephesians chapter 4, after 11, in verse 15 and 16, it says that every joint supplieth. The fourth thing is the body of Christ. In Galatians 6:1, he that is spiritual, that's the word, katharizo, restore, with a spirit of meekness. Every joint supplied. Pastor, she used that word called epikorageo. Some of you that were there, we are old school, so we remember. Epikorageo. So here's a song leader, he sings. Someone realizes he needs a guitarist, so the guitarist comes in. The guitarist, a pianist says, oh, there's no pianist. The pianist comes in. All of a sudden, there's a band. That word epikero means to supply as a chorus. And now you have an whole orchestra there. In the body of Christ, God has, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, tempered us. Tempered us. So the eye cannot say to the ear, because I am not the eye, I am not anymore part of the body. But it goes further still when there are schisms. Another part of the body in verse 15 and 21 says, the eye says to the head, I will not be. One is, because I am not. The other one is, because I am not, I have no need. That's a much stronger word than I am not. I am not meaning I could be ignorant. I come to church, someone tells me, you know, you have a call in your life. Me? I kick leather. It's a soccer ball with air in between. Somebody said, why do 22 people have to run after one ball? Give everybody one ball each and they'll all be happy. So I've got to close anyway. So we have, because I'm not the eye. The other one, I have no need. No, when we get rid of the I am not and I have no need and bring it together, every joint begins to supply. Now God says, that's the way I'll transmit virtue. We evaluate virtue. Third thing is, God wants us to know what victory is all about. Now he says, okay, having virtue and having virtue for virtue's sake is not enough. Now I'll expose you in the plan. That's where the warfare comes. That's where Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell shall. Now I'm exposed in the plan. So the devil looks at us from the outside and says, look at these guys. Ha! Saul is telling David, you're a youth, but he was a warrior from your youth, from his youth. Regarding the Philistine. David is not trying to have a big debate with Saul as to why he should go. He's saying there's a problem here. He's saying something against the living God and I can't bear to hear it. Right? And he goes, and what does David do to Goliath? There's a little talk, but there's a lot of action, and in the end, Goliath is down. See, in Genesis 3:15, there was a promise made. There was a prophecy. The serpent's head is going to be crushed. There's no question about it. It was prophesied. In 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 4, Dagon, the god with the elephant head, fell down the first time, and the next day they put him up again. But when he fell the second time, his head was chopped off and his hands were cut off. And that is nothing but glory in God's presence. When the ark is there in that place and you put Dagon before the ark, the idol does not just need to bow down. The idol needs to have its head and hands cut off. That is something that happened in the invisible realm, which was noticed the next day. That is the God of Israel manifesting his power to the Philistines. The third thing is David cutting off Goliath's head. And that is personal combat that God is calling David into. And the fourth thing is the church. And no matter what happens to us from the eyes of men, there is something that is happening deep down in the recesses of this world system that principalities and powers and rulers are beginning to experience something that they did not, they had free course to. Now they recognize that there is opposition because now value has been understood through the finished work. Virtue is being communicated, and in places where they have taken over, people begin to experience victory as God's people. So we are on good ground. Right? Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bonjour à tout le monde.
Morning to everyone.
Je voudrais vraiment dire merci au Seigneur.
I would like to thank the Lord
pour l'opportunité que j'ai d'être ici.
For the opportunity that I have to be here.
Jusqu'à la dernière minute.
Until the last minute.
C'est sûr que c'est Dieu qui savait.
God knew.
Mais moi, je pensais plus venir.
But I really thought I wouldn't make it here.
Et puis le Seigneur, par sa grâce.
And through the grace of God.
A permis que nous soyons là.
God allowed for me to be here.
Je crois que lorsque Dieu nous donne l'opportunité d'être dans des rassemblements comme ceci,
when God gives us an opportunity to be in places like this,
c'est sûr que c'est pour qu'on puisse recevoir de lui.
It is for us to be able to receive from him.
Et je suis là pour recevoir.
And I'm here to receive.
Merci à Pasteur Chaleur.
Thank you, Pastor Schaller.
Je voudrais aussi dire merci à Pasteur Luigi qui n'est pas là.
I would like to thank Pastor Luigi, though he's not here.
Pour tout ce temps que nous avons passé avec lui à Lomé.
For all this time we spent together in Lomé.
Et pour l'investissement.
And for the investment.
Et puis merci à chacun de vous.
And thank for each one of you.
Ici, vous savez, quand on arrive, on constate beaucoup d'amour.
When we come here, we actually witness a lot of love.
Parce que le rocher a fait son travail.
Because the rock did his job.
Alors ce matin, j'aimerais
lire
un passage.
I would like to read a scripture.
Dans la première épître aux Corinthiens.
First Corinthians.
Au chapitre 10.
Chapter 10.
Et j'ai lu le verset 4.
Verse 4.
Donc 1 Corinthiens 10.
First Corinthians.
Le verset 4.
10:4.
Il est dit, et qu'ils ont tous bu le même breuvage spirituel, car ils buvaient à un rocher spirituel qui les suivait. Et ce rocher était Christ.
And drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ.
Et c'est vraiment, c'est un très beau passage.
It's a beautiful passage.
Et il est extraordinaire.
It is really amazing.
Parce qu'à l'intérieur, on voit déjà beaucoup de choses.
We see a lot of things in this passage.
Alors, le peuple de Dieu,
the people of God,
buvait à un rocher qui était Christ et ce rocher les suivait.
They were drinking from a rock that was Christ and the rock that was accompanying them.
Et à 1 Samuel,
and 1 Samuel,
au chapitre 2, le verset 2,
chapter 2, verse 2,
il dit, il n'y a point de rocher comme notre Dieu.
There is no rock like our rock.
Il n'y a point de rocher comme notre Dieu.
There is no rock like our rock.
Donc nous avons notre Dieu.
We have our God.
Et notre Dieu est notre rocher.
And our God is our rock.
Amen.
Amen.
Et puis on voit avec Moïse.
And we see with Moses.
Avec Moïse, en Exode 17, le verset 6.
Exode 17 and 6 on.
On voit que là encore, Dieu va se manifester.
We see that God will manifest himself.
Parce que le peuple murmure parce qu'il souffre.
The people is murmuring and they are murmuring because they are suffering. They want water.
Il a besoin d'eau.
They need water.
Et Dieu parle à Moïse.
And God speaks to Moses.
Et Dieu dit à Moïse.
And God tells Moses.
Tu vas frapper le rocher.
You are going to hit the rock.
Donc le rocher n'était pas loin.
The rock was not so far.
Dans les versets précédents, il nous a dit que le rocher les suivait.
And remember, the rock is accompanying them.
Et Moïse va frapper le rocher.
And Moses will hit the rock.
Et ils auront l'eau pour boire.
And they will have water that they need.
Et puis on continue dans Nombre, au chapitre 20.
And then we move on to Numbers 20.
Encore là, le peuple
again,
murmure.
The people is murmuring.
Et Dieu parle à Moïse.
And God speaks to Moses.
Et Dieu dit à Moïse.
And God tells Moses.
Tu vas parler au rocher.
You are going to speak to the rock.
Et du coup, on se rend compte, mais le rocher, il n'est pas loin.
And again, the rock is not far away.
Il est toujours présent.
It's always there.
Parce que quoi? Il suit le peuple.
Because the rock is accompanying the people.
Le rocher n'est pas distant.
It's not a distant rock.
Le rocher ne s'éloigne pas.
It's not a rock that goes away.
Le rocher est présent.
The rock is always present.
Une chose que j'ai pensé,
one thing that I was thinking,
c'est que le rocher,
that the rock,
il est notre provision.
Is our provision.
On peut pas faire quoi que ce soit sans le rocher.
There is nothing that we can do without this rock.
Mais aujourd'hui, quand on regarde dans ce monde,
but when you look at the world today,
il y a la confusion.
You see confusion.
Et de jour en jour, la confusion est grandissante.
And day after day, the confusion is greater.
Pourquoi c'est ainsi dans ce monde?
Why is it the way it is in this world?
Et puis, j'ai pensé que c'est simple. On peut répondre comme ceci.
And we could give this answer.
Parce que le rocher n'est pas la provision de ce monde.
Because the rock is not the provision for this world.
Si ce monde avait compris,
if this world understood,
que la seule provision,
the only provision,
est le rocher,
is the rock,
tout allait changer.
Then everything would be different.
Mais l'homme cherche ailleurs.
But man looks somewhere else.
L'homme cherche au mauvais endroit.
Man looks the wrong places.
Il ne va pas au bon endroit.
They don't go to the right places.
Et ici, ce matin, une chose que j'ai eu sur le cœur avant de venir ici.
And one thing I had in my heart just before I came here.
C'est que nous sommes au bon endroit.
Is the thinking that we are in the right place.
Nous sommes dans un ministère qui, au lieu de nous montrer autre chose, nous montre le rocher.
We are in a church that instead of showing us something else,
it shows tout,
us
ça
the rock.
Tout.
And that makes all the difference.
Ça change tout.
It changes everything.
Parce que nous, on sait.
Because we know.
À qui on peut aller quand il y a difficulté, quand il y a problème.
We know who, to whom we can go when we have difficulties
mais
and
le
problems.
Monde
but the world.
A besoin aussi que nous apportons cette lumière-là.
They also need the same light.
J'ai besoin d'aller là où Dieu me dirige.
I need
et où
to
il
go,
me permet d'arriver.
I need to go where God leads me, where He allows me to get.
Où il y a cette personne que je vais rencontrer.
I want to meet that person that I'm supposed to meet.
Qu'il y a un rocher.
I want to tell them that there is a rock.
Un rocher particulier.
And the particular rock.
Qui est Jésus-Christ.
And that rock is Jesus
qui,
Christ.
Qui lorsque vous le rencontrez.
When you meet that rock.
Les choses changent.
Everything changes.
La vie change.
Your life changes.
Ce monde.
This world.
A besoin de Christ.
Needs Christ.
Mais on propose beaucoup de choses à ce monde.
But we see a lot of offers in this world.
Et puis le monde veut aussi, c'est pas comment, nous impressionner.
And the world wants sometimes to impress us.
En disant, mais il y a telle personne maintenant, quand on parle du côté de la science, il y a des grandes découvertes.
And we say, you look at science and all the great discoveries.
Ah, on a pu faire ceci, on a pu faire cela.
Oh, we are able to do this and that now.
Et même parfois aussi, l'église se laisse impressionner.
And sometimes the church can be impressed.
Pourtant, c'est pas nécessaire.
But this is not necessary.
Parce que ce qui impressionne le monde.
Because what will impress the world.
Ne doit pas m'impressionner.
What impresses the world shouldn't impress me.
Parce que dans mon livre.
Because in my book.
La Bible.
The Bible.
Il y a tout.
Everything is there already.
Parce qu'avec le rocher.
Because there is the rock.
J'ai tout.
Because with the rock I have everything.
Et si on me dit, mais je connais pas les dates, hein. Mais si on me donne des dates, on dit, mais celui qui est arrivé à la découverte de ce qu'on appelle, bon, c'est pas grave. Voilà. Oh, c'est pas grave. Alors, donc, dans le psaume 81, verset 16.
Psalm 81:16.
Il dit, je le rassasierai du miel du rocher.
I will give them honey from the rock.
Et un passage.
And another passage.
Que j'aimerais voir avec vous avant de
I would like to go through with you before I stop.
C'est ce passage de Colossiens au chapitre 2, le verset 1.
Colossians 2, 1.
Et puis jusqu'au verset 3, on va lire.
And we'll read through verse 3.
Il dit, je veux en effet que vous sachiez combien est grand le combat que je soutiens pour vous et pour ceux qui sont à Laodicée et pour ceux qui n'ont pas vu mon visage en la chair, afin qu'ils aient le cœur rempli de consolation et qu'ils soient unis dans la charité et enrichis d'une pleine intelligence pour connaître le mystère de Dieu, savoir Christ. Mystère dans lequel sont cachés tous les trésors de la science, tous les trésors de la sagesse et de la science.
I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those of Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Et juste en considérant le verset 2,
When you think about verse 2,
il dit afin qu'ils aient
so that they may
le cœur rempli de consolation,
be encouraged in hearts,
et qu'ils soient unis
and united
dans la charité,
in love,
et enrichi d'une pleine intelligence,
and full of riches in complete understanding.
You see, quand on parle de consolation,
you see, when you think about consolation,
regardons tout ce qui se passe,
when you look around,
qu'on le dise ou non, le monde a besoin de consolation.
Whether you admit it or not, the world needs consolation.
Mais nous sommes consolés.
But we already have consolation.
À cause du rocher.
Because of the rock.
Parce que nous avons rencontré le rocher et nous sommes consolés.
Because we have met the rock, we have consolation.
Le monde n'est pas consolé.
Not the world.
Mais nous sommes consolés.
But we have this consolation.
Parce que nous sommes au bon endroit.
Because we are in the right place.
Nous avons le rocher.
We have the rock.
C'est, nous nous nourrissons du rocher.
We feed from the rock.
Nous buvons au rocher.
We drink from the rock.
Ça c'est tous les jours.
Every day.
Et dans cette conférence,
and in this conference,
on n'a pas cessé de se nourrir.
We haven't stopped being nourished.
De s'abreuver.
To drink
du rocher.
From the rock.
Parce que tous ceux qui viennent là,
because everybody
que
who comes
soit dans
here,
les différentes sessions,
in the different sessions,
viennent par le Saint-Esprit pour communiquer le cœur
du rocher. Wants to communicate the heart of the rock through the Holy Spirit.
Et
and we receive and we are
nourished.
And we have consolation.
Il y a consolation.
We have consolation.
Et le monde n'a pas ça.
The world doesn't have this.
Et quand tout devient dur,
when we are become hardened, we have the rock.
Et il y a quelques questions qu'on doit se poser.
And sometimes we need to raise some questions.
Quand les choses deviennent difficiles,
when things get difficult,
peut-être je pense à une telle question.
I'm thinking,
qui fréquentons-nous? Qui fréquentons-nous?
Who are we hanging out with?
Qui fréquentons-nous?
Who are we hanging out with?
Est-ce que je fréquente le rocher?
Who, you know, am I being
ou bien
close
je fréquente
to the rock?
N'importe qui.
Or whoever.
Notre lieu de ce qu'on fréquente. Les endroits qu'on fréquente.
The people, the places we are with.
Sont importants.
Are very important.
Est-ce que je suis dans le corps?
Am I in the body?
Est-ce que je suis dans l'église?
Am I in the church?
Est-ce que je reste là pour être nourri?
Am I being nourished?
Et une autre question.
Another question.
À qui allons-nous?
To whom shall we
Est-ce
go?
Est-ce que je vais au rocher?
Am I going to the rock?
Ou bien je vais à n'importe qui?
Or just go to whoever.
Le problème est là.
That's the
Et
problem.
Parfois les choses sont vraiment dures.
Sometimes things get tough.
Et une autre
tough.
Question c'est ça.
And another question I.
Que mangeons-nous?
Why do we eat?
Nous sommes un peu particuliers.
Why do we eat? We are a particular people.
On se nourrit du rocher.
We are eating from the rock.
Amen.
Amen.
C'est merveilleux.
It's amazing.
C'est merveilleux.
It's amazing.
Peut-être nous aussi on peut regarder les choses.
And sometimes we look
on
at
peut
things.
Passer par des moments difficiles.
We can go through difficult times.
Mais en un instant on s'arrête.
But in one moment we stop.
Et puis on sait qu'on a on a la provision.
And we know that we have the provision.
Alors mon histoire tout à l'heure que je vais rater.
The story that I messed up
earlier.
It's a question of anesthesia.
Voilà, des gens sont arrivés à la découverte. On peut anesthésier, ça peut être local, ça peut être général,
you know,
et opérer quelqu'un.
We know when we had the discovery of you could actually put somebody to sleep to some operation on them.
Mais
locally or
quand
generally.
Quand les gens ont vu ça, tout le monde était émerveillé.
When people first saw this, this is amazing.
Mais n'ont pas vu que Dieu c'est lui qui a d'abord commencé.
But God has actually the one that already did this first.
En Genèse, lorsqu'il voulait faire la femme.
In Genesis, when he created the woman,
il a fait dormir l'homme.
He put the man to sleep already.
C'est dans ta Bible.
So it's in your Bible
c'est dans
already.
Ma Bible.
It's in my Bible.
Donc, ils veulent nous impressionner avec ça.
And they want to impress us with this, but
qu'est-ce qu'ils ont bien pu faire?
What did they do?
C'est merveilleux, notre.
It's amazing.
Notre rocher.
Our rock is amazing.
Vous savez, ensuite, pour terminer,
and I just want to end with this.
Le rocher,
the rock,
il me donne de ne pas être la proie facile des gens. La proie facile. La proie. Uh-huh. Une proie. Alors, donc, par le rocher,
through the rock,
Dieu me garde et je ne peux pas être la proie facile des gens.
God keeps me and I'm not an easy prey for people.
Un jour, quelqu'un m'a rencontré.
And somebody met me one day.
Il avait une certaine doctrine.
And he had a certain doctrine.
Alors donc il m'a invité chez lui.
He invited me over his house.
Il m'a donné l'équivalent en CFA de $60.
And he gave me the equivalent of, you know, maybe in local money, like of $60.
Donc cette somme, je l'ai mis dans la poche.
So he gave me the gift and I took it.
Je l'ai bien empoché.
I had it in my pocket.
Et après, on s'est assis, il a commencé à me parler de sa doctrine.
And then we sat and he started to talk to me about this doctrine.
Il m'a dit, est-ce que je connais ce que c'est que la semence du serpent?
And he says, you know what, you know, the serpent seeds really mean?
J'ai dit, il veut parler de quoi?
What are you talking about? The serpent, the seed of the serpent.
C'est une révélation.
It's a revelation.
Il a reçu cette révélation.
He got the revelation.
Il ne peut pas garder cette révélation.
He cannot keep that revelation.
Et moi, j'avais les $60 dans ma poche.
I'm thinking I had this money in my pocket.
Il dit, mais voilà. Et tu dois comprendre cette révélation.
You need to understand this revelation.
Et puis j'ai dit, mais attends.
And I said, wait a minute.
C'est pas une hérésie?
Isn't this an heresy that you're talking about?
Ah, c'est une hérésie.
It was something strange.
Et moi, je peux jamais croire dans cette hérésie-là.
I don't want to believe in what you're saying.
Parce que ça, je sais, je connais le propriétaire.
I know the owner of this.
Je connais celui qui a eu cet enseignement.
I know the one who actually had this kind of teaching.
Parce qu'il enseigne que Caïn, il est du serpent.
And because he was teaching that Cain was actually the son of the serpent.
Et c'est n'importe quoi en plus.
It's of course it's something strange.
Et j'ai dit, je peux pas croire ça.
I said, I don't think so. I don't believe.
Et j'ai commencé à dire des choses concernant cette doctrine.
And I tried to explain to him an answer to the to
mais
this.
Mais j'avais gardé ces $100 dans ma poche.
But I still had the money in my pocket.
Et j'ai dit non à sa doctrine, je suis parti avec l'argent.
I said no to the doctrine, but I ended up leaving with the money in the pocket.
Parce que quand même, j'ai payé l'essence pour arriver là, quand même.
Well, I thought, you know, I paid the gas anyway to go there.
C'est merveilleux.
It's amazing.
À cause du rocher.
Because of our rock.
On peut pas nous séduire.
We cannot be deceived.
On peut pas nous tromper.
We cannot be deceived.
On peut pas nous éloigner de la vérité.
We cannot be drawn away from truth.
À cause du rocher.
Because of the rock.
Nous devenons solides.
We become solid.
Stable.
Stable.
Et nous sommes bénis.
And we are blessed.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
Okay, praise God. Beautiful, huh? Let's review it. Let's stand up for a moment. And I was thinking about the ladies that are on the mission field also, maybe just not, I just love to see them, really. I don't know if you're comfortable with that or not, but what about that? Would the ladies that are serving as missionaries in Greater Grace worldwide, they can be married or unmarried, it doesn't matter, but they are just simply females. And they are working and serving on the mission field, foreign and even here in the United States. So, would you like to come up here on the stage? I mean, that would be great just to see. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, come on up. We're not going to ask you any, just, we want to honor it, you know, just come on up. Yeah, great. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Stand in front right there. Yeah, here we go. Right up front here. Yeah. I'll hold this. Awesome. Wow, isn't that amazing? Huh? Isn't that amazing? Wow, it's amazing. Wow. All right. How about just your name and the country? Would that work? I said we won't ask you anything, but we could do it. Because it's too good. It's too good, isn't it? All right, you may be seated. Okay, let's start.
Sylvie Oman.
Blanca Torres de Peru.
Lucy Helinga, Costa Rica.
Julie in Malawi.
Rita, Finland.
Kiko, China.
Marina Baglio, India.
Cindy Matthew, Puerto Rico.
Paula Lange, Budapest.
Rob Moon, Mexico.
Ruth, Albania.
I'm her mother.
Jill Dedidis, Montreal.
Karen Collins, Argentina.
Bev Speedy, Cyprus.
Leti, Switzerland.
Kathy Craddock, England.
Rebecca, United States, and Hungary next month.
Angelica Benoit, United States.
Libby Green, Kyrgyzstan.
Erika, Azerbaijan.
Nikki Colby, Budapest.
Liz Robbins, Turkey.
Rita Harchi, China.
Dana Johnson, China.
Avril Plunkett, China.
Dawn Dernbosch, China.
Anne Mulligan, England.
Joyce Morley, United Kingdom.
Pam Greaves, China.
Bill Vikrama, China.
Jessica Norman, Marlborough, Massachusetts.
Stephanie Benoit, Marlborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Natalia Chung, Japan.
Eliko Perkins, Las Vegas.
Elvira Robbins, Turkey.
Annette Sebo, Oman.
Suzanne Staples, Trinidad.
Cindy Fires, Miami, Florida.
Natalia Timofte, Romania.
Carolyn Peters, Budapest, Hungary.
Carol Armin, Malawi.
Evi Aaltonen, China.
Pat Weisskopf, Elgin, Illinois.
They made us come up here. Nicole Wheatley, Chicagoland as well.
And Barbara Johnson, Brooklyn, New York.
Thank you. So let's say a few words to the ladies. Let's say, number one, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. We thank you for supporting your husbands, teams, pastors, for your hearts of faith, for your prayers, for your love, for your attitude. Thank you for your service. You're reaching out, opening up your home, caring. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your powerful prayers. Thank you. We love you. Amen. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Just a couple high points maybe of what we heard this morning, Pastor Ben. I love the part about the blood of the covenant considered an unholy thing or unworthy. And he said in the Aramaic, is that right? Aramaic, it is, count the blood of Christ as the blood of any man. Just common blood. And that's what we do when we when we're wrong. We're just wrong, and we don't consider it to be so sacred and powerful. Despising the Spirit in Hebrews 10:29, not recognizing it. He spoke also about the Sermon on the Mount, you being used to convict somebody of their sin. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock higher. Pastor Coelho on the leaven in the loaves, the feast of there's a feast, the first fruits, and then the Pentecost feast. And I love the idea, the thought that, the church is sacred. The church is, a place where the Holy Spirit is. In our pastor's meeting this morning, we spoke about, the anointing and, Do not touch the Lord's anointed. What it means to have the right attitude towards God and the truth toward each other. And yet when people leave the church, how do we handle that? We'll go over that some in this week a little more. Discerning good and evil. And Pastor Coelho, I mean, I just resonates in my heart with equipped, being fitted, that we would be prepared, furnished, capable, and this happening in the body of Christ. Last night's message with Pastor Satellite, crossing a river in China and reaching for the stones under the water, you know, the rocks, you know, to get across the river. And that in our life, as we live with God, we want to be always touching the rock, you know, always saying, God, help me and lead me. Pastor Bob Mooney said, the rock is always near us, not far away. And he said, the rock is our provision. And that the confusion that is in the world is because people look for answers in the wrong places. And even some things in the world are very impressive, like our technology and certain, you know, like social victories and various things that, but then we see ultimately the trouble and the confusion, and that the rock is the provision. He said, hit the rock, and then sometimes, well, God said, speak to the rock. So there's a time, hit the rock, that's when Christ is crucified. He is hit the rock, he's crucified, and then speak to the rock, he is raised from the dead. It's beyond the crucifixion. Thank you, man. Really good stuff. So, how about if let's have a talk just for a moment before we're dismissed. Andy will dismiss us in a minute. But how about this one? Confusion. People look for the answers for life in the wrong places. In Europe, looking for answers in the wrong places. In Africa, in the United States, looking for answers in the wrong place. All right, so the rock is the answer. So would you talk to your neighbor for a moment about it?